1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, you're just back from Baghdad, and you're in Modesto, right?
I'm in Modesto now, Phil, a small Northern California community. It's in the San Joaquin Valley. It's a farming community primarily. Modesto has been visited by tragedy frequently over the last 2 years. Of course, the Chandra Levy story, and now Lacey Peterson. Phil, I'm standing in the main square. I'm near the courthouse where today Scott Peterson was arraigned on murder charges by the district attorney here in Stanislaus County. And I am tempted to view this man as guilty, as most people are. But as a reporter, I have to be objective. And I think it would behoove many of us to take into consideration some very interesting facts that may point to his innocence.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Phil, tomorrow morning my column will report that I believe Scott Peterson to be innocent, and here is why.
All right, you're going to say that in your column.
I am, and here is why. Number one, Scott Peterson, in his interview with Diane Sawyer, said, and I want everyone to listen carefully to this, he would never hurt a woman, that it was unapproachable to him. Now, here's the question. Why then, if he would never hurt a woman, would he kill his wife when he doesn't believe in violence against women? That's number one.
All right, can I respond to these?
Hold on, I'd like to, if I could get these out.
Okay, go ahead.
Number two, Scott's mother, Jackie, told police that the cement found in Scott's boat was from a cement anchor that Scott has on his boat. No one tells you that. They only tell you that it could have been cement from the backyard, but in fact, he has a cement anchor. That's number two. Number three, the reason that he sold Lacey's car is because, in Lacey's words, it was a piece of blank, a piece of S blank blank T. Lacey herself did not like the car, according to Scott's mother.
All right, now that was a, what was that, Janice, a Range Rover? Was a Range Rover?
No, Phil, it was a Land Rover.
A Land Rover, okay.
All right, number three. Lee Peterson, Scott's father, says there can't be any motive for the insurance policy. It was purchased 2 years ago on each of them, and they did it when they bought the house. Now, those are the three questions I can't get out of my head. Why would he say he wouldn't hurt women and then kill a woman? Why would they say that the cement was suspicious when he had a cement anchor? And Scott's father said that the insurance was on the house. It wasn't for either one of them. And Lacey hated the car. That's why Scott was getting rid of it.
All right. Well, why did he change his look?
Phil, he was being hounded day and night by reporters. He wanted to get away from them.
Because he dyed his hair blonde, and he dyed his beard blonde.
He wanted to get away from the reporters.
All right. What about him being in San Diego and the proximity to Mexico?
First of all, Scott Peterson was the Arizona-California rep for a fertilizer company that was based out of San Diego, so it would be natural for him to be there. And number two, his parents live there.
All right. Then why did he have $10,000 on him, allegedly, when the police caught him?
Well, it's not sure whether that actually happened, but if it did, Scott Peterson was very fond of gaming. It is not unusual for people who enjoy gaming, casinos, etc., to carry large amounts of cash.
Well, look, I enjoy gaming. I don't carry that much money, $10,000.
Well, Phil, it could be that he makes more money than you, that he makes a bigger income than you. I think, Phil, if you put all these facts together, it reflects some very troubling questions around the so-called guilt of Scott Peterson. And I think as a reporter, what I need to do is I need to take the courageous stand and say, this man may be innocent. He said he couldn't hurt women. Then why would he? How could he have dumped her body in the bay if he had gone fishing? Fishing requires a great deal of equipment. You can't, in any way, shape, or form, have a human body in there, fishing equipment, etc.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray, who's been in Modesto the last day, reporting on the what did they do today to him?
They arraigned him.
They arraigned him, I'm sorry, on Scott Peterson. And that took place today. He was arrested last Friday in San Diego. You believe this man is innocent. You're not the only person who thinks that there's some questions about this, but the police say they got a slam dunk case.
Well, Phil, police are going to say that. They don't want to waste the DA's time. They certainly don't want to have the they certainly don't want to have an angry district attorney's office on them. If they said anything else, I think the DA would have some problems with them. I think it's interesting, Phil, also, that Scott Peterson said the following: I had absolutely nothing to do with her disappearance. And you used the word murder, he said to Diane Sawyer. I mean, that is a possibility, but it's not one we are ready to accept. It creeps into my mind late at night and early in the morning. Meaning he still wanted to look for his wife. And he still now wants to look for his wife, but they won't let him. They have him in custody.
All right, so you think Scott ought to be out there free looking for his wife?
I'm saying that the man could very well be innocent, and this is very reminiscent of a witch hunt. Now, let's look at the so-called affair.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to look at. The guy was, whether he was in love with this woman or not, the guy was cheating on his wife.
All right, let's look at this. First of all, he said he didn't care anything about the woman. He said he told Lacey about this affair, and that while she was upset, they didn't have any cross words. If they weren't arguing, if they had no cross words, why would he kill her? And if she was ready to accept his affair, why would he kill her? Violence towards women is unapproachable, said Scott Peterson. It's the most disgusting act to me. And despite the couple's problems, he said there was no anger or cruelty expressed between he and Lacey. Now, these are questions, Phil, the police can't answer.
And well, I mean, you ask the question, why would a man who says he doesn't believe in violence toward women kill his wife?
Exactly. Ask the police that. They have no answer for that. Ask the police, Phil, why would a man who wants to kill his wife, buy her a car that he thought she liked very much, why would a man who wants to kill his wife get a room prepared for an unborn baby? I'm reading for notes right now, Phil. I'm outside.
Well, if you wanted to get over to the hotel or something.
No, I'm fine. Why would a man who wants to kill his wife prepare a nursery in the home for their baby? Now, here's a quote from Scott Peterson. This is devastating. Listen to this. I don't even know if I can get through it, he told Court TV's Dan Abrams. I miss my wife and child. I can't drive. I can't sleep. Sometimes I feel I just can't do it. I feel like I'm in a dark corner. I can't function. That man, Phil, we are being told, murdered his wife. I don't think so. You don't say that and then kill your wife. Now, as far as the affair goes, Phil.
Well, the affair that he had.
Phil, who knows why men throw themselves on bar trash when you've got a beautiful young wife at home? But I've got a newsflash for you, Phil. Stop the presses. Just because you cheat on your wife doesn't mean you're a murderer. Now, listen to the words of Scott Peterson. Listen carefully. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I feel like I'm in a dark corner. I mean, all the evidence tells me one thing. Scott Peterson is innocent.
And you're going to write that tomorrow in your column?
That I'm writing that tonight to go to my column tomorrow, yes.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. She's a freelance reporter. She's in Modesto right now. She says there's three reasons why Scott Peterson couldn't have killed his wife. Number one, he said that he didn't believe in violence toward women. Number two, he said that he was worried about his wife and that he couldn't sleep and couldn't eat. And number three, the life insurance policy apparently was taken out before they bought their house. She says it's impossible for this man to have killed his wife based upon the evidence. Well, the guy has been arraigned, two counts of murder. He's in Modesto right now. And who knows? 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
One 800-449-8686. And now more. on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Scott Peterson, is it possible that he's innocent? We're talking with one reporter in Modesto, Margaret Gray, who believes that he is, based upon your observation of a few of his comments. And Ms. Gray, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I don't think it's based upon an observation of a few of his comments. If Scott Peterson was guilty, why would he have helped in the search for his wife? If Scott Peterson were guilty, why would he have agreed to be interviewed by Diane Sawyer in the first place, one of the most savvy interviewers in the business? Diane Sawyer, if she wanted to, could have ripped him to shreds. It was impossible because it was ironclad. And finally, why was he golfing? These are not the signs of a guilty man. Scott Peterson is innocent, and I think they should be out there looking for the real killer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, who is... are any of the reporters reporting the possibility of his innocence?
Well, Phil, I don't know, but the San Jose Mercury News published a wonderful, wonderful profile of him back in January that I think said it all. He's been hounded and harassed, and all he's wanted to do is find the killer of his wife.
All right, here is Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I just can't believe anybody's taking this woman seriously. I mean, this sounds an awful lot to me like O.J. Simpson saying he's out finding the real killers.
I don't know what the connection is. I'm saying that Scott Peterson has very clearly stated he could not kill a woman or hurt a woman.
Well, and Baghdad Bob said that there were no troops outside of Baghdad. People lie. I mean, there's no way you can say
Baghdad
that the man...
Baghdad Bob was psychopathic. Scott Peterson holds down a job. He pays a mortgage.
He has $10,000 in cash on the way to Mexico.
He was not going to Mexico. He was driving by Torrey Pines Golf Course in San Diego.
Well, what's he got $10,000 worth of cash for?
He is a gaming fan. He loves to game.
Well, are you saying that he was going to a casino?
I'm saying it's possible. Carrying $10,000 of cash is not unusual.
Of course it's unusual. Do you carry $10,000 worth of cash?
Well, Jim, maybe for you, I don't know how much money you make. Some people make enough money where they carry some in cash.
Well, I carry some money in cash, but not $10,000.
Well, you're not him, aren't you?
Well, no, and I didn't kill my wife either.
The only reason people think Scotty is guilty is because he had a little affair with some bar trash. And
there's
now
all
everyone...
kinds of evidence linking him to this, and the fact that he did not...
What evidence? What evidence?
Not... You've gotten $10,000 for the cast. He's
that's
right
not
outside
evidence.
Of Mexico.
That is circumstantial. That is not hard evidence.
Yeah, well, circumstantials, they can go with that.
Oh, really, Perry Mason? And in what way?
I'm not Perry Mason.
I can't believe you, lady. I just can't believe the evidence.
Well, tell me what evidence. What evidence is there?
Look, all I know is they're not going to arrest somebody when they don't... They probably have DNA evidence. We don't know the whole story. But the fact of the matter is that the fact that he stood up to Diane Sawyer doesn't make him innocent.
Look, the police have been wrong before. I hate to break the news to you, Jim.
Well, of course the police have been wrong before, but why are you so adamant that he's innocent? That's the thing that I don't understand.
It's the things are not adding up.
Well, you say things aren't adding up. Here's one of the things you say isn't adding up. The guy said he wouldn't hurt a woman, but, you know, the woman's dead, so how could that add up? Like the man said, guys lie about it. Look, if I beat my wife, I'm going to be running around saying, yeah, I do.
But
the fact that he had an affair indicates that this is a man that's probably pretty adept at lying.
Look, if a man is violent toward his spouse, don't you think the police would have been to the house at least once? They were in O.J.'s case, as long as you bring him up. And yet there's no record of physical violence by Scott against this girl.
That doesn't matter.
Why?
I don't know. I've been saying, a guy's got to start... Hey, for all I know, he killed her by accident.
Well, that doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is the police have got enough evidence to be able to arrest him and indict him. And for you to come on the air and say, well, he stood up to Diane Sawyer and he said all kinds of things nice about his wife. I mean, for heaven's sake, Susan Smith said that her kids were carjacked when she'd driven them into a lake. I mean, murderers lie. People who have affairs lie.
But when Susan Smith said that, it didn't make any sense that someone carjacked her.
Why?
It just didn't make sense that a black guy would come along and take kids.
But then it doesn't make sense. Well, I mean...
It doesn't. Why would a black man come along and abduct two children?
I don't know. For money. Maybe the guy's going to kidnap him for money.
Some bar trash's children he's going to kidnap for money.
What's with the bar trash?
Well, you saw... Susan,
the things that you say, the way you characterize the woman he's had an affair with, I just don't understand your slavish loyalty to Mr. Peterson.
I do not have slavish. I have slavish loyalty to objectivity and the truth, and I can tell you that this man, this is a rush to judgment.
Well, objectivity would say, let's wait till the facts are in.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting on the radio and saying, absolutely this guy's innocent, because you couldn't stand up to Diane Sawyer if you were guilty. And that's just nonsense.
Diane Sawyer would have ripped him a new one.
Sawyer couldn't rip anybody a new one.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I think I know a little bit more about news reporting.
Well, wait a minute. The police have got the police have got the DNA of this woman. Plus, they said they didn't need... What did they say, Janice? The cops said that they didn't need to find the bodies? No, they didn't need to have the DNA to charge him.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Well, they said it.
Well, I don't believe it.
Well, that's great that you don't believe it, but where's objectivity come into play? Now, you're confronted with some evidence that demonstrates, hey, you know, it's possible.
This guy
didn't do it, and you're going, well, I don't believe it, and I think that he's innocent.
The Modesto police are known to be a bunch of rubes. Those guys... Let me tell you something.
Oh, come on, man.
The Modesto police?
Are you trying to tell me that some police department the size of the Modesto police, they know how to investigate something bigger than someone spitting on the sidewalk? You really think that they're adept at murder investigations?
They got a district attorney office up there. They got qualified investigators. They got qualified police officers. They're getting help from the FBI's serial crime unit. Come on.
Every excuse to say that this guy didn't do it. You're looking for every possible excuse. You're defending a police department.
No.
And, I mean, it's just nonsense.
I'm trying to... Look, what are the odds that Andy and Barney solve a murder?
Who?
Andy Griffith, and who is the guy on the TV show?
Andy Griffith?
You mean Bayberry RFD?
What are the odds? Look, Jim, I'm on my way to the Pulitzer Prize dinner with this story... Because
you are the most arrogant human being I've ever heard in my entire life.
This is about winning a Pulitzer?
This is about reporting the way reporters are supposed to, Phil. I'm rolling the dice, you're right. But if it comes up sevens, it's Pulitzer time.
What the hell is that?
All right, thank you, Jim, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray, reporter for the Bardley Syndicate. And this is about... Scott Peterson's arrest. She thinks he's innocent. She believes he's innocent because he says he couldn't be violent toward women. A lot of this, Ms. Gray, has to do with you taking his word for it.
No, it does not. That's where you make your mistake.
Yeah, it does. If the guy says, I couldn't be violent toward women, you're believing him.
No, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, is this the kind of guy, is this the kind of monkey that would kill a woman? And he doesn't look like it to me.
All right, let's go over here to Janet. Hello, Janet. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
this woman is so far off base, it's not even funny. I'd hold off on buying a ticket to the Pulitzer Prize-winning event.
Well, I'm talking about filing a story that is going to be groundbreaking.
But, you know, in terms of him lying, he absolutely bold-faced lied to his pregnant wife, who was about to deliver a son to him, and cheated on her, so... I don't think it would bother him a bit to be lying about anything else.
Well, here's where you have it wrong, because he did tell her that he was having this affair because she knew he was lying. He couldn't cover it up.
Well,
so, I mean, eventually people like that, they get caught, and he probably did have to eventually fess up because it was obvious. So she could have found cell phone records and all kinds of things.
I think you're going around. Look, Janet, were you a fly on the wall? Where'd you get your information?
Here it is, Christmas Eve, and he's going off fishing with his wife at home, pregnant.
Are you from California?
And they even said
it's very normal in California to fish.
I mean, you don't go out fishing on Christmas Eve morning.
In California,
you know,
it's normal
weather. I mean, there's so many facts
In the state of California, it is common to fish on Christmas Eve. It is a long-held tradition.
I've never fished on Christmas Eve, and I grew up here.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, if you're not from the ocean. Are you from the interior?
Yes.
Then you don't know.
All right, Janet, thank you for your call. 1-800, what do you mean it's a long-standing tradition to fish on Christmas Eve? 1-800-449-8686. This woman, Margaret Gray, thinks Scott Peterson is innocent. We'll be right back.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray, a reporter who's covering the Scott Peterson arraignment today in Modesto, and you believe him to be innocent. And you have also said that you're rolling the dice on this belief, but if it comes up sevens, it's Pulitzer time. Is that correct?
Phil, I think reporters need to be daring as well as objective. We need to go where others won't go. I can tell you that from where I sit, Scott Peterson is as clean as a baby's you-know-what. And I would not say that were it not true.
Can I ask you, have you been talking to MSNBC about a talk show?
We're in preliminary discussions, yes. But that has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. I don't mind reporting on popular news. I enjoy it. I'm perceptive.
But you are in discussions with MSNBC about doing a talk show, so I just want
to... Well, you're trying to color me as being, biased, and it's not going to work, Phil. Let me tell you a little bit about what I do. I'm a reporter, Phil.
I know you're a reporter.
But I want you to know something. When I was a student at the University of Pennsylvania, I worked on the college newspaper. And one of the other girls on the staff had an interview with Henry Kissinger that she was going to do. She was going to break this story. But the fact is, I found out about it, and I got the scoop instead. And I'll tell you what I did, and I'm not proud of it, but I got the scoop. I had done a story on Rohypnol, and I had some Rohypnol in my purse.
That's the date rape drug.
Yes. And I slipped her one, and I got the address and the phone number of Mr. Kissinger, and I went and did the interview myself. And the next day she was angry and asked me how I got the Kissinger interview, and I said, none of your business.
You drugged a fellow reporter on the college newspaper so you could get the Kissinger interview.
That's right. That's what I do. I don't know what you do or anybody else out there. That's what I do.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Enrique on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think that statement that she just made sort of guarantees everything I'm about to say. This woman
what,
is
that
totally
I'm a, that I'm a hard-nosed reporter?
And I don't know what she's smoking.
I'm a hard-nosed reporter.
But, there's total inconsistencies in this entire... For starters, she's stating that
why would he say he
normal.
Went fishing to where
you're,
the body showed
stating,
up? Why? Why would he say he went fishing to where the body showed up? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, if you're stating that he had... that it's perfectly normal to carry $10,000 cash... Yes, granted, if you make good money, you can have $10,000 cash
exactly.
in your pocket.
Thank you.
Perfectly normal.
He
doesn't have the money. He's getting a state-appointed attorney because he can't afford an attorney.
If you can have $10,000 cash in your pocket,
you can afford to pay for an attorney.
No, you're misinformed. He does have his own attorney. That state-appointed attorney was misreported.
Right.
That's wrong. Well, I'm sorry, but even the news reporters don't get everything right.
So he has his own attorney?
Yes.
That's not what I reported from multiple sources like CNN and Newsweek.
Didn't hear it from multiple. Look, just because you like to hang with the blue hairs at the nickel slots doesn't mean that you don't have money.
Okay, why did he change his appearance all of a sudden?
What?
Why did he grow a beard and dye his hair and bleach his beard and change his total appearance?
He was being hounded by the press.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And what about not being there to help look for his wife when they found the body that might be hers?
What do you mean?
Why? Where was he?
He
was at a strip club or something?
He led the search for her. He was leading the search for her.
Yeah, leading a search.
That's right.
As soon as they suspected that the bodies could have been hers, if it was my wife and she had been lost and murdered, I would be hauling ass to that location. And try and find out the facts to see if that's really her.
You're going to go down there to make sure she's really...
I'm sorry.
To make sure she's really dead? Jesus. She was cold. What's he supposed to go down there for?
I agree with this man. Wouldn't you want to go down and at least see for yourself?
At least be sure to put your mind at ease, for God's sake. If you really care about your wife and care about women like you say... And this is someone that you don't... You want to be sure and put that to rest.
Look, I think I would take their word for it that she's dead. I'm not going to go down there and check myself.
Listen, I'm not
going
to take your word.
They're going down
if you're
to check.
Someone who drugs your own co-workers into telling you information behind the books, I'm never going to take your word for anything.
I slipped her a roofie so I could interview Henry Kissinger.
Yeah,
you would have
right.
done the same thing.
You knocked somebody out, slipping somebody a drug so you could go interview
people
Henry Kissinger?
People get arrested for doing that, okay?
Yeah, and other people get Pulitzer Prizes.
Oh, please. I'm
Thank
sick
you.
Already.
All right,
Bye.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. Esther, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray, who's in Modesto at the Scott Peterson arraignment.
Okay, what I want to say is that if he's innocent, whether he's innocent or guilty, he's done everything a guilty person would do. He not only had $10,000, he had his brother's ID on him. I'd like to see a picture of what his brother looks like to see if it looks like what he looks like with the blonde hair and the goatee.
What?
And you said, wait a minute, you
what?
Said that he doesn't look like the type of man that would kill a pregnant woman.
No,
I'm
he
not
doesn't.
Here to say whether he's guilty or innocent, but I'll tell you one thing. Looks can be deceiving, number one, and number two...
He's too clean cut. He's too clean cut. No man that...
aren't the only people that do murders.
Well, no man that looks
lawyers,
that...
You've got doctors, you've got all kinds of wackos that flip at anything. And besides that, if you're judging by the way he looks, the man has not shown any remorse in every single picture that I have
didn't
seen.
Did you hear what he said to Diane Sawyer, that not a day went by that he didn't cry about it? And on top of that, he's too clean-cut to be a murderer. He looks too good.
Whether he did it or not, he has not shown any remorse. He has not shown any drainage. Have you seen what his parents look like?
And one other thing. I'm sorry?
His parents look drained and suffered and devastated. He has not had any devastation look on him.
Now,
if you're going to judge by his look, he has not looked devastated.
And Esther, one more thing, and here's the clincher. Did you hear, speaking of Scott's mother, did you hear her yesterday? She said Scott was innocent. Now, that was on the news, multiple sources.
What was it?
She said Scott was innocent.
So what?
Scott's mother.
Parents. Number one, parents are always going to see their kids.
Who cares if she said he's innocent?
They're going to see their kids innocent.
That's
and as
proof positive. Who knows a boy better
that
than his mother?
Not proof. That's a bunch of mumbo-dumbo. Every murderer's parents say they don't even know what went wrong and where did their kids go wrong.
Well, look, Esther, if you had a boy and he murdered someone, wouldn't you think he was innocent?
I have a boy.
And
if he commits a crime, I would be the first one to put him forward to pay for
well,
his
I don't
crime.
Know. The whole thing's pretty far out. I don't think they've got a thing.
Oh, come on! You're telling me that the guy...
I'm sorry, but you're ridiculous. You don't even sound for real. I don't think you're a real reporter.
I'm not a real reporter.
I think you fell off some turnip truck somewhere because there's all kinds of stuff. What do you think about the brother's ID? Let's see what the brother's
All right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the brother's ID.
Did he change his look to look like his brother?
It is very common when you borrow your brother... Hold on. It's very common when you borrow your brother's car that he leaves his driver's license in it, and Scott reached for the wrong ID.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. People carry IDs in wallets.
Sometimes.
Without an ID, just in case you have to
All right.
show your ID.
Isn't it possible if he's living at home there with his parents that he grabbed his brother's wallet?
No. Everybody,
Why not?
Every responsible human being knows whose wallet belongs to who.
No, sometimes people grab the wrong one.
Oh, baloney.
No,
the wrong one.
No.
I think you've been grabbing
the wrong one. The minute a man grabs his wallet, a lot of times he kind of opens it up and kind of checks what he has in there, what monies and things. No,
his brother's last name is Peterson. What's the big disguise about that?
What? What is
his
what?
His brother's last name is...
All right, okay, look. Thank you very much, Esther, for your call.
No, wait a minute. You're making me... I wanted to ask her a question.
Oh, your questions are stupid. Peterson, what kind of a disguise is that?
Well, if he wanted to disguise himself, why did he change his last name?
He's done everything that a guilty man does.
Like
He's
what?
Done everything that makes him look guilty.
Look, Margaret.
$10,000.
$10,000.
His brother's ID, change his look, not show any remorse. He has done everything that a guilty man does.
And he went fishing, and that's not.
He went fishing, and he told them he went fishing, by the way. I heard you tell the other guy, why did he say he went fishing there? He told them because he knew that people would have seen him fishing there.
It's a tradition in the state of California to fish on Christmas Eve. Are you from here?
He told he went
oh,
fishing there
on.
When he dumped the body
right.
there because he knew that people would have seen him going
All right,
to that
why
place.
Was the dog in the backyard? Why? When he said she had taken it walking.
Who said? Scott Peterson? You can't believe anything he said.
All right,
if you
don't,
his word is not valid.
All right, forget him. Then let's talk about Scott's mother. She says that he's innocent, and she said that she thinks this is Nazi Germany she's living in.
You're all over the page. You're all over.
What are you talking? All right, look, Esther, I got to go.
Why won't you answer that, Phil?
All right, you want me to say it?
Yes.
I think his mother's cuckoo.
How dare you? How dare...
I think Scott Peterson's mother is overcome with grief and she's cuckoo. Nazi Germany.
All parents are going to say that.
How dare you say that about a grieving woman?
Well, grieving for who? Her daughter-in-law? Or is she upset for her son? What do you mean grieving?
She's on oxygen and everything.
I don't care. She's nuts.
Well, you know something? I'm done then, Phil. How dare you say that about a poor old woman whose daughter-in-law they just picked up out of the bay with no head?
All right, look. I am not trying to berate anybody here other than to say that that woman's comments about living in Nazi Germany is goofy.
Do you agree with that, Esther? See, she's not commenting.
All right. Thank you, Esther. Margaret, you need a freaking head examiner, okay? There's no way that because this guy says I didn't kill my wife...
Then why would he say it?
Because he's lying.
You feel pretty strongly about that, huh?
Yeah, I feel strongly about that.
All right, I'll go back and look over the evidence again.
Good. What the hell? What?
What about my Pulitzer?
I guess you'll just have to wait on that. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, if you go to our website, you can take a look at the, you know, what our radio show is all about. And that was me, for instance, doing the voice of Margaret Gray. And if you think that's strange, just check out the website and it'll give you a full explanation as to just how twisted and how really odd this show is. In any event, go to our souvenir shop because there is a bundle of stuff that we have introduced over the last few days in the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop. Now, not only do we have the standard Western Estates Homeowners Association polo shirt, which is a beautiful thing, and that, of course, designed by Bobby Dooley, we have the Phil Henry Show T-shirt, our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, and our travel mug from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and our black and white coffee and latte mug. If you click on each spot, you're going to find a few extra added goodies. In the Western States store, you'll find not only the Country Club polo shirt, but now we have the spa robe. Oh, yeah. The spa at Western Estates Terry Velour robe, white plush, 100% cotton Terry Velour, three-quarter length sleeves, and measures 48 inches long with two patch style, hip pockets, and a double belt loop. One size fits most. Embroidered with the Western Estates logo on it. Now, what you got to do is order this up for Mother's Day. It's coming up, and it's not enough time for the flashback.
Talk about the rope some more.
I'm sorry, man. I had to do it within 30 seconds, didn't I? That's stupid. Okay. Oh, my Lord. Oh, we were going to do our Bobby Dooley flashback here. All right, we'll wait. We'll get to it next hour. In fact, we got three to get to from last Friday's show. The spa at Western Estates Terry Velour robe. Now, with Mother's Day coming up, this is a great gift for Mom. Get this Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. It's out of sight. Also, Father's Day, we've got, dig this. This is the thing that I've been waiting for, the thing that I've been just craving, and it's now in. You got it, the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass. This is class all the way. You got a set of four for $12. These Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses are the way to go. It's a class act. If you go to our Citizens Auxiliary Police store, you not only have the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, we also have the ball cap, and we have the windbreaker and the travel mug, two kinds of windbreakers, royal blue and black. Anyway, the most important aspect to our souvenir shop is our Best Of CD. All the money from that goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. So whatever you need, whatever you got to have from our show, it's there in our souvenir shop. And we certainly encourage you to go on in there and shop. Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. This is the best place to go for Father's Day or Mother's Day. You can't get this stuff anywhere. They won't allow this stuff to be sold anywhere but in our souvenir shop. Most states won't even allow you to carry this stuff. It has to be checked for medflies and SARS. So just get yourself over to the souvenir shop and buy a bunch of junk. You'll love it. Mother's Day, Father's Day, and, of course, 4th of July. Well, whatever. Whatever you're buying presents for. Oh, well, I screwed that up. I was going to do our Bobby flashback here on this beautiful Monday here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number 1-800-449-8686. Everybody is jaw-jacking about Scott Peterson and what a turd he is. And I actually went back and researched a lot of things that he had said over the weekend, because one of my things that I love to do is to see how wrong people are. Like at the beginning of the season, I'll see who's been picked for the Super Bowl. At the end of the season, I'll look back and I'll read all of the geniuses that picked what teams, and, you know, just how stupid they sounded when they made the pick. And Scott Peterson, unbelievable, this guy. Not only did he say he could never kill a woman, but he said things like, for instance, every morning when I go out into the volunteer center, I have a note there, and it says, I told Stacy about all the volunteers. She thanks you. What kind of a screwball is that? That's a guy, what is he, talking to her from the beyond? I thought she was alive and he was looking for her. So that's kind of goofy. Then the mother, and I didn't want to hit this too hard, but that caller and that idiot Margaret Gray forced me into it. That mother, what's her name, Jackie? She's got a screw loose. She's typical of so many of these mothers. Little Johnny boy couldn't have done a thing. You don't understand, Father. He never had a day's sleep. He always was a good boy, and I beat him and all this bull crap. I'm going to tell you, with the greatest of respect to the family, but I'm not talking about Lacey's family now. I'm talking about his family and that whole denial thing they go into when they find out that their son is a walking turd. And the first thing, of course, is the Modesto cops are wrong, and the press was wrong, and my son has been wrongly accused, and why aren't you out there looking for the real killer? Oh, okay. And so the mother thinks that she's living, and this was her quote, Nazi Germany? You know, the Nazis, they were bad, but they get accused of a lot of stuff that just isn't their fault. The Nazis were bad, but they didn't cause Scott Peterson all of his pain. So she sounds like she's got, like, one oar in the water, that woman. And I hear she's on oxygen. Maybe she ain't getting enough. They better get another extra, you know, a family-sized tank there behind her or something, because I don't think she's sucking enough of that juice to get enough of that stuff to her head. Soviet Union and Nazi Germany. What are you going to do when they put your little boy there on the gurney, man, just like Dead Man Walking, and they start pumping that juice into his arm? Is he still innocent then? It will have been a terrible, terrible miscarriage of justice. Nazi Germany. Look, do us all a favor, Mr. and Mrs. Peterson. Just keep a low profile here over the next few months until this whole thing just blows over. And just until the gas chamber gets aired out. 1-800... Oh, they don't use the gas chamber anymore? I think they ought to trot it out for him, just as a special anniversary celebration. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
What are they doing now? They want to turn this into a debate on abortion, this Lacey Peterson thing? The head of the National Organization for Women's Morris County chapter is opposing a double murder charge? Oh, get out of here, will you please? Look, I believe in a woman's right to choose. Up to a certain point, man. Ain't there a certain point that it's a kid? I mean, come on, ain't it? I think it's always been my feeling that if it doesn't look like a human, then you can abort it. The minute it has fingers and stuff, you can't do it. If it still looks like shrimp cocktail, I say you can pull it out of there. But if it looks, you know, if it's got hair and stuff like that and a smile on its face, like if he's waving back at you in the sonogram, I think maybe you don't want to do it then.
Hi. Hi, Dad.
Yeah, go ahead, man. We got to have that third trimester thing. Ain't that what that means, third trimester? I thought it was illegal anyway, ain't it? What a argument to have, you know, when's it human, when isn't. I say it ain't human when it doesn't look human. There. That settles that. and the National Organization for Women has got to stick their big schnoz into that one. I know, it makes it sound like I'm misogynistic and I don't like women, and I understand that there's many a noble cause has been fought by that organization. I just think the time is not right for this. Don't you think they ought to choose their battle someplace else? You know the old saying, it's like my dear old mother used to say, choose your battles, son. Choose your battles. Sometimes one battle is appropriate to fight and the other is not. This is not the time to be debating abortion. I thought we got rid of that. Just remember the Phil Hendry rule of thumb for abortion. If it looks human, don't abort it. If it looks like something out of the seafood section, go ahead and you can abort it. That's what I say. Otherwise, it's a stupid argument. Of course a woman has the right to choose. It's her body. It's part of her body. But after a while, if it's, you know, he's parting his hair down the right and he's wearing a seersucker suit in there, he's got a little straw hat on, you better not do anything about it. I don't think, anyway. Okay, Bud, I've asked Bud Dickman to help me out with a lot of the Scott Peterson research. Bud, I know you have some things there.
Yeah, I do, Phil. I just pulled this off of the internet, and I think it's very interesting. These are some things you don't know about Scott Peterson.
All right, thank you, Bud, and I know that you have been doing the research. Now, what is this?
It's about Scott Peterson.
Blueprint for a successful pipe organ restoration?
Right.
What's that got to do with anything?
You asked me to get information on Scott Peterson. Here it is.
Do you know how many guys are named Scott Peterson? This is some guy that restores pipe organs.
Get out of here with that. I think you ought to look at it. It might be important.
Yeah, sure, that's right. Maybe he beat her to death with a pipe organ. Scott Peterson, blueprint for restoring pipe organs.
You're an ass.
Okay, man, that's it. You know what? As long as it keeps the focus on how dumb you are, man, you can call me any name you want, huh? How about that? I'm Scott Peterson now. I brought this information for you from Scott Peterson. All right, have we got that Bobby flashback? We couldn't do it last hour. Bobby Dooley was on our show last week, and Bobby lost her son. Speaking of losing a child, Bobby lost her son, Dylan, in an automobile accident. But it wasn't Dylan's fault that he was driving drunk after sucking down a bottle of red eye. It was the fault of the girl he was with because she just wasn't good looking enough. That's what made him get drunk.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Blame the woman, and you cannot blame God or anyone else. And I do apologize about your son not being here, but you know what? God may have took your son to save him from you. And if you don't slow down, God may end up taking your other two sons away from you. It's because of your belligerent attitude that God may have allowed this to happen.
What's
and if
belligerent
you don't straighten
about?
Up, you may lose the rest of your children.
Well, what are you talking about? You don't
you
know
heard
that.
What I'm talking about. That's,
no.
I'm talking about the situation at hand. How can you blame that girl for not giving your son some sex, and that's
look,
why he died. Do you hear yourself? Do you think within your head?
Wait a minute. Why else would a boy cop a bottle of red eye, drink
because your son wanted to get drunk that night. It was prom night, and that's prom for teenagers. They drink. You cannot blame that girl for not separating her legs, and that's why your son died. If I'm telling you now, and I'm warning you on national radio, you better slow down, because you know what? God may hold you accountable and take the rest of your children away from you. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Well, I don't understand what she's talking about.
She's
no, you understand
saying
fully what I'm talking
she's
about.
No, I don't. I don't. I first of all, she shows up in an A-line dress. Her mother did her hair.
I don't care however she's dressed. It doesn't matter how she's dressed. She
vinyl
said no.
Shoes.
That's the primary point. She said no. And like the lady said before me, you need help. You need beyond help. You need psychological, mental, and probably physical, too, help. You need help. Seriously.
Physical? So you think that I'm out of shape?
No, I don't know what you are. You sound like a depressed woman, and true enough, you should be because your son died, but
you
need to get over it. You got two other children to raise.
Kim
you need to come out of that slump.
You
and your husband back there, too.
Well, you can bounce a quarter off my wife's rear end.
My husband said that I'm in
what
great...
What point does that have to... Now, you see how stupid that was? We're talking about your son dying, and you going
to... you said I need... You
that
said...
That's show that you people need help.
No, you said
you
I needed
help.
Physical
no,
help.
I mean, why else would you be on national radio saying something stupid and as idiotic as you are?
I loved my son very much.
And if you love your son, then you would stop this madness and stop blaming that girl for not giving up her virginity. If you love your son at all, you would stop that.
If
because
she,
that makes him look bad as a person. What does that say about you? What
she,
does that say about you all as people?
If she'd given it up, then he wouldn't have had to get drunk.
That's
and
right.
And you know what? I believe fully you're his son. I mean, I believe fully you're his father. I don't doubt for 1 minute that you're his father.
I'm trying to help other parents raise nice girls.
How can you help somebody else and you can't even help yourself? The best thing you can do for your children, if you love your children like you say you do, mm-hmm. you should be that strong parent mm-hmm. and go get counseling. I heard you when you said you volunteered that to your other friends, but you feel like you don't need it. I guarantee you, baby, you're the one who needed the most.
But she was wearing vinyl shoes.
My husband said she was wearing vinyl shoes.
Y'all so stupid, it's pathetic. I mean, y'all are really sickening.
What
I can't believe that people like you exist in America. I thought we had got beyond stupidity.
What do vinyl shoes have to do with your son's death?
Exactly.
So in other words, the last formal that my son goes to, he's with a girl in a kind of an imitation fabric, satin, no boutonniere.
Ma'am, can I ask you, what does that have
vinyl
to do with your son's
might be
death?
Okay.
What's that, I'm sorry?
What does that have to do with your son's death?
Because he was distraught. He was distraught over the way she looked. He had to get drunk.
Okay, so if your son was wearing blue shoes, he would have lived, and because he was wearing black, he died? So
no, he was dressed fine. It was her, the way she was dressed.
Oh, so why don't you blame what your son had on? Did your son have an all black? That may have had something to do with it.
My son looked like he was right out of GQ.
My husband says our son looked great. He looked like he was right out of GQ.
And those are the kids that had the most problems.
You know, the best thing I could have done is told that vinyl shoe-wearing hobo to turn around and get back in her mother's pinto and go home.
You know what? I feel sorry for her mother. I feel sorry for her mother that she ever allowed her to go out with your son. You know why? Because you are sick. And
you know,
that probably rubbed off on her just a little bit. That girl has to walk around for the rest of her life knowing that her prom date died.
But wait a minute.
You sitting here on national radio saying this. You know what? I pray to God that nothing bad happened to you.
But here's the thing. She comes from a home. There's no father there. I don't know if you heard that or not. Okay.
So what? What does that have to do with anything? That
You're
makes
kidding.
Even more so reason why she didn't open her legs. That probably is reason why she didn't open her legs, because her mother told her not to give up your virginity until you are married.
I don't
is that
the
not,
connection.
You know, make common sense to you?
I don't understand.
So I gather that you was a slut too then, right?
I don't understand the connection.
I gather that you was a slut then, right?
Well, you know, I haven't called you any names. I haven't called you a
Well, I take that back. I'm sorry.
You know, I take that back.
I'm sorry. So I guess you were friendly with the guys in school, right?
I haven't called you a big fat hoochie mama.
And baby,
okay.
I'm 17,
all right. Look,
honey.
Look, ladies, okay?
That mother put that girl's hair in ringlets. Sweet Jesus. What are we talking, Nellie Olson or what?
Yeah, she had ringlets.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that's Bobby and that's Steven. They are stupid. Stupid. Prom season is upon us, and if your son gets drunk and drives his car into a brick wall or something, it's probably his date's fault. Maybe she was wearing vinyl shoes and had her hair in ringlets. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We went to a recital for our son on Saturday, and this is where all the kids get together and they play songs. And our son plays the piano, Chris. He's actually very good. If you heard him, you'd say the same. Although he raced through his selection, which was "The Entertainer" by Marvin Hamlisch. You know, anyway. Just a word of advice. See, I don't know a lot of people will have their kids go and do these recitals because music, what? It rounds the child's perception of life out. It gives him a more well-rounded view of life. Most of these kids were terrible. They couldn't sing. They couldn't dance. They couldn't play piano. They couldn't do anything. Really, honest to God. They were terrible. And the recital was sponsored by the lady that was their music teacher. I don't know whether that's a good advert. You know, she's great with our kid. I don't know whether you want to advertise your business when every kid you put up there is screeching out, "I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair like a banshee up in the trees." It's fine. I understand that everybody's proud of their kid. They want to see him up there. The other thing that's true, and the kids are cute, but they ain't got any talent. I mean, come on. And I suspect a lot of parents, see, I see a lot of these parents with the kids. Like when we were shooting the pilot, we have a scene where there's a pool scene where I'm standing at a swimming pool and I'm looking into it and there's a bunch of kids there. And the parents, they want to have their kids be big movie stars. They start them out at about 3-4 years old and they bring them around and they're, you know, they got them in this movie and that movie and it's, up to a point it can be fun for the kid, I think. And then after that, but figuring your kid's a big singer when he can't carry a tune, just the kid couldn't carry, you know, his lunchbox, let alone, you know, just no, like our eldest is a great guy. He's going to go to college. He was in the West Side Story production that they did at the high school, and he played one of the main characters. And boy, the voice, Nick, I love you, man, but you know you can't sing. Well, he can't, man. It's just tonight. But he's a great actor, so it makes up for it. But I think a lot of these parents, they have their kids there, and they think that they're going to be, aren't they great? They get the video camera. That's fun. You know, you want to see them. But please don't make any mistake that, like, no other parent notices. We do. We notice how bad your kid is. Man, when it comes to the world of kids, parents can be so bloody selfish. You know, their kid is the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? Their kid is just, oh, he's just the end-all be-all. And here are the slides of when he was at the recital. And it'll just go on. And the patience that you have to listen to this. I bet you, you know, Scott Peterson's mother went on and on about what a calm, sweet kid he was. Next thing you know, there's a head in his icebox. Some of these guys, man, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the guy who's just Mr. Together. I think there's something lurking there in the basement. I'd rather a guy live next door to me who's insane than I know what I'm dealing with, right? So anyway, we went to this thing on Saturday and listened to the kids screeching out their songs. And at one point I started laughing because there were a group of kids up there singing, and I started to laugh. My wife was hitting me. I mean, I had tears in my eyes because it occurred to me a really weird thought. You know, there's little kids up there singing the theme from Aladdin, you know, and they're dressed in the stuff, but it's bad singing. And I started thinking, what if I was in a Broadway theater right now and I just paid $80 to watch this? And that's when I started to lose it. You really appreciate it, don't you? Anyway, our number 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. But good job, Chris. I think you sounded very good, even though you blew that middle part there in that song and you had to... And we're all up there rowdy going, yeah! Susan Sarandon had a movie on TV last night. Nobody watched it. I wonder if that's because there's a conspiracy among people who watch television not to like her movies. Outspoken anti-war activist Susan Sarandon hit severe ratings turbulence on CBS Sunday night with her original telefilm Icebound, landing last in overnight ratings and losing nearly 40% of the audience levels from the previous Sunday. Icebound pulled a frosty 5.5 rating. I guess that's bad. And but it was in New York City where Sarandon hit complete bottom at 9 o'clock in Gotham. Sarandon trailed even the WB Network's Black Sash. And that's, in other words, in the TV business, to trail WB, you are worthless. If you can't get a higher rating than Warner Brothers Network, you're crap. And she couldn't do it. She had a 3-4, the lowest seen for CBS in years. It's not clear if it was ICE's subject matter, a woman suffering from breast cancer in the South Pole, or if it was viewership rejection of Sarandon that resulted in the startling ratings crash. CBS finished first in its 7 p.m. slot. And here's the official reaction from CBS. Sure, it was a disappointment in the ratings, but Susan's acting was terrific and we're proud to have aired the movie. Oh, bullcrap. It's the other part of getting into the television business. The bullcrap flies thick and furious. Oh, my God. I mean, I work for some nice folks over there at NBC Studios and NBC Network. We put a pilot out there. We'll see if they like it. If they do, that'll be great. It'll be great. But I will have to wade through a lot of bullcrap. There's just no two ways about it. There's an impossibility of being able to tell the truth at some level in show business. In other words, BS. Like up to here, honesty works. Then above 70,000 a year, BS really starts to kick in. Up to 70 G's a year, truth will prevail. But above, say, 70, 100 grand a year, then the bullcrap factor starts to roll in. And it's just, I think it's because there's so many insecure people in that business, they don't want to hear the truth. which is you suck. You suck. Your show sucks. Get out of here. So they're very, what do you call it, diplomatic. What'd you think? Yeah, it's really, hey, we're going to be back at you. We're going to call you back and it's whatever. But we're very happy to have had the opportunity. Now we're waiting to see whether we're actually going to get on the network or not. And if, by chance, the big long shot comes in and we actually get on the schedule, we're going to have to deal with the inevitability of bull dung. We're really proud to have had your show on our network, Phil. In other words, it sucked? Yes, that's pretty much what we're trying to say. You know, great acting, great story, great characters. The audience just didn't respond. Well, then who's bad here, the audience or me? You, pal, you're gone. You know, it was a tremendous thing. So that's what happened to Sarandon last night. And I think probably the reason why nobody wanted to watch it is because nobody really wants to watch Susan Sarandon anymore, but not because of her politics. If you want to see Susan Sarandon, don't you want to see her in that Bull Durham taking off her clothes thing? Who cares about the being down in the South Pole? I would agree with the number one, the first explanation. Yeah, hi, we got a TV movie on this weekend? Okay. It's about a woman who performs surgery on herself in Antarctica. I gotta see that. What? And talk about location, man. It's all white with just a little bit of blue sky. And she's walking around in the snow. And then you get to see surgery. What kind of surgery? They're going to remove a tumor. Okay. Everything about that show grabs me. I got to be there for that. Yeah, just blue. Look, just put another reality show on the air. Quit pretending that television has a future in theatrical, episodic, or whatever, you know? I mean, just put another damn reality show on the air. You know that's where it's headed. Now we got that Fox personality where these guys wear leather masks and beat women. God, did you see that? And who's the host of that one? Ain't that Ryan Seacrest? Oh, no, what's her name? I always get him mixed up with Monica Lewinsky because of their propensity for the same thing. But you know, yeah, personality. These guys put on these rubber masks. They look like something out of Satyricon's, you know, the fifth level of Satyricon hell. They're in a hot tub with a chick with a leather mask on, sipping wine and making out. It's wild. It's great. You know, like one guy has a pink mask, the other guy has a leather mask. Then they take turns with a cat of nine tails. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Roads to Iraq's Karbala Shrine, packed with a moving river of Iraq Shiite Muslims arriving on foot to commemorate the death of Imam Hussein in the year 680 A.D. today for the first time in a quarter of a century and make a show of force. See, these Shiite Muslims, you've heard all about them. They are the predominant sect in Iran. And I think they're the minority sect in Iraq, or maybe it's vice versa. But all these guys ever do is cause trouble. They're a violent group of Muslims. I don't know who you'd compare them to in the Christian world. I don't know. If there's some brand of Christians that kick ass or, you know, want to go out and put a sword through somebody's eyeball, that's them. This is the Shiites. We got to deal with these guys. Garner, this is the general who went over to Iraq to help him with their civil administration to eventually set up some sort of a democratic society over there. These Shiites are a totalitarian group of people. They believe in a theocracy, which, you know what a theocracy is? It's a God-based government. In other words, you know, it's a democracy, but you got to believe in their way of doing things. You got to be a Muslim. Otherwise, you know, you get your hands cut off. And so these Shiites are starting this stuff in Iraq. You know, they had that big demonstration last week, U.S. out. What do you think's going to happen if we get out? Are you stupid or something? They're not stupid. They want it to become chaotic so they can take over. Now, here's the problem that we got. If these towel heads get out of hand and we have to machine gun a few of them, now what do you got? Now you have the world propaganda machine turned against America, the big, bad, crap can country. You know, Hussein was a bastard for a reason in some instances. He had to torture people, and he had to machine gun them and, you know, put them into meat grinders to keep them in place. Some of these guys get out of hand a little bit. And these Shiites are number one on the list. And talk about ingrates. We go over there, we free them from this guy Hussein, and already get out of our country. Are you guys really think you're going to sell that? You really think you're going to sell that one, huh? Get out of your country, not till we're good and ready. What do you think of that one? Get no more America. We must have you out. Iraq for Iraqis. Yeah, yeah, all in good time. You got to be kidding. We leave now, and it turns into a maelstrom of crap. Turns into one big crap storm. We got to stay there for a lot of different reasons. Number one, to protect a lot of people from these Shiite clowns. And I do mean clown. What is up with them? What? You know, I'd really like to know more than anything else. Exactly when did the Muslims get this hard on they've got for the rest of the world? What happened? What, we don't believe in Muhammad? Well, that's tough. They want to kill and maim everything in their freaking path. This isn't about America. They cut the hands off of their own people. They take heads off and body parts off with abandon. Where did this develop? I'll tell you when it developed. It developed back around the 8th century when the Moors, at that time they were called the Moors, the Mohammedan Arabs, swept across the north of Africa and then went all the way across the north of Africa, heading west, up across the Rock of Gibraltar, across the Straits of Gibraltar there, and into Spain, and commenced their invasion of Europe. And if you go to Spain, you will see to this day remnants of the Moorish civilization. The Moors, the Mohammedan Arabs, tried to invade Europe in the 8th century. Well, right about the Pyrenees Mountains, they got their asses kicked. And they were driven out of Europe, driven right back out of Spain and across the Straits of Gibraltar into North Africa. They've never, ever gotten over it. They've never gotten over it. I'm telling you the truth. They've never gotten over it. They've never been able to get over the fact that they got their ass kicked by the Europeans. It's consumed them. It's consumed them now for over 1,000 years. To the point where they've let their societies degenerate, their ability to lead themselves, create, cultivate, all of it is just degenerated. There's no art. There's no culture there. There's no development of civilization there. It's just, they're stuck somewhere around the millennium, the first millennium. They never got over that. They always like to talk about the Crusades. Hate to break the news. The Crusades came about 600 years after the Moors tried to go into Spain. If anybody ought to be pissed, it ought to be the Europeans. Now, that's the facts, Jack. Read your history. And so now they're over there waving their swords and waving their hands and pumping their fists and burning the flag and all that boring stuff that we're supposed to just start trembling in our shoes over. Ah, no more, okay? All you Shiites, all you towel heads, off the street at 8 o'clock, man. We got a curfew. Go, 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 go. Volleyball tomorrow morning at 7. Now get going. And we'll get out of there when we're good, fat, and ready, and not a minute before. But I really don't know how we're going to keep them down. You know, how are you going to keep them down on the farm, man, once they've seen Baghdad? They're going to be, they're going to be pissed. It's going to be very interesting. Now, on to the news from Scott Peterson. As you know, Scott said today in a courtroom at his arraignment, I am not guilty. That was in Stanislaus County Superior Court during a hearing that lasted less than 4 minutes. Peterson looked straight ahead at Judge Nancy Ashley as she read the charges against him. Handcuffed, shackled, and wearing a red prison jumpsuit and prison-issued sandals, he did not look at his parents, who were seated just a few feet away behind him, or his in-laws seated across the courtroom. At the time, here it is, Sharon Rocha, Lacey's mother, wept as the charges were read. Before today's proceedings began, Jackie Peterson, Scott's mother, hugged Sharon Rocha and was observed telling her, I'm sorry. Now, this Jackie Peterson is the one who says she lives in Nazi Germany and the cops have butchered this case since the gate, and that the police have got a real problem with Scott, and they just wanted him, and they're looking at him, and there's somebody else out there, and they're picking on their son. At the time of his arrest, the normally dark-haired, clean-shaven Peterson had dyed his hair dark and eyebrows blonde, grown a goatee that was also blonde, and was carrying a large amount of cash. But at today's arraignment, the goatee was gone, though his hair remained dirty blonde. Peterson told the judge he could not afford an attorney, and public defender Tim Bazaar was appointed for him. The judge scheduled a bail hearing for Peterson on May 6th. Wait a minute, I heard the parents drive a Jaguar, and they're loaded down there. They live in Solana Beach. Can't afford a lawyer? Why'd you get your old man to make with some jingle and get that lawyer you need? Get the big-time lawyer. You need some of those big murder case lawyers. I don't know who the hell they are. What about that guy that wears the buckskin? Who's he? You know that guy that rides a horse into the courtroom? What's that guy's name? I swear to God, these guys with their criminal, these attorneys, they're like they're on stage in Hollywood. And they're all variations of goofy. There was one, I met one about 10 years ago, was a famous murder attorney, famous, you know, I don't know, criminal attorney. And, you know, as soon as he got off the air, he was being interviewed at a radio station I worked at. As soon as he got off the air, he was on his cell phone asking people, did you hear it? Did you hear it? How did I sound? Yeah, yeah. And he was like denigrating even the person that he was representing. He was laughing about the whole thing, even though this person was up for capital murder. Why? Because it's all, you know, he's in the middle of, he's doing a pitch for himself. There's a guy that is a criminal attorney that wears chaps and nothing underneath and comes into the courtroom like that. What's his name? He wears chaps, buckskin, a big cowboy hat, and stinks. Smells of cow crap. So you got to get one of those guys. Big, how about that guy Cochran? Get him. He's used to dealing with guys that are guilty. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, this attorney I'm talking about looks a lot like David Lee Roth. Yeah, Ted Nugent. Get that guy Johnny Cochran is the guy you need. Peterson, if you got any brains in your head, get him. Now, he may not want you because you're white, but he can only say no. But he got that guy Simpson off with DNA and everything, and that's the guy you need to get. So get your mother and your father, Lee and Jackie, who I hear have got money coming out of their ears, and tell him to kick in, okay? They owe you that much for making you a psychopathic murderer in the first place. I think he's got a I think that mother's got something to do with it. You want my honest opinion? Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I think I will. That Jackie Peterson with the big mouth, and my son couldn't have done that. She sounds like a real,
castrating
kind of a woman. I'll bet you that, you know, the son got bent a little bit growing up with that mouth every day. You know, opinion this, opinion that, you know, emasculating his father to the point where he hated women. What do you think? That's just my opinion. But you can help him now. You can help your son, Jackie and Lee. Get that guy, Johnny Cochran. He's in the Yellow Pages. He's in West L.A. He's up there in Century City. This guy got O.J.'s down playing golf right now in Miami because of Johnny. And if you want your son back out there on Torrey Pines pretty soon, you get this guy, Johnny Cochran. He can take DNA evidence. They could have found the still beating, pulsating, bloody heart of Nicole in O.J.'s truck, and they would have found him not guilty. That's how good this guy is. They could find that poor little Lacey Peterson's head in this guy's icebox. Johnny will get him off. If you'll pardon the expression, get him off. And with a name like Cochran, he can't be bad. All right, 1-800-449, that's just my advice. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got a little comedy gold from Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. And now he is the night manager at a print shop in Culver City and sleeps on the porch of his mother's house on a cot. And Larry wants to have his mother committed because she didn't agree with his views and the way he saw the Iraq War.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I hear this guy on there talking about he's an expert and he knows so much about the war. I got one question for you, Larry. How much combat time have you served? How much time do you serve for your country?
Well, you say you were in the Gulf War. How do we know you were? And you're not just claiming that to sound like you're a big shot.
Oh, it doesn't matter about that. I mean, I can tell you my year. I was in the 1st 18th Cav and 4th ID, Fort Carson, Colorado.
I believe you, Keith.
March 4th, 90.
I believe you,
okay?
Keith. I believe, Keith.
All right.
The bottom line is,
you're
listening to the American propaganda on TV. If you haven't been there and don't know what's going on and been there firsthand, you don't know what's going on other there than what the government's telling you. And
Wait a second. Are you trying to say that your government, your commander-in-chief, is lying to you?
No, they're not lying, but they ain't telling you what's going on as it happens, sir.
Well, it's
kind of like this. We got American soldiers on the ground right now. If they showed exactly what was happening when it happened, our American lives would be online, just like it was when we were there the first time. My wife videotaped it. Showed me videotapes, and it's like, baby, we weren't even there. That tape's about 2 weeks old. We were gone and out of the area. You're talking about American propaganda, and you're talking about chat rooms. Come on, man, you're an embarrassment to the Republican Party.
Talking about what?
You are an embarrassment to the Republican Party.
I've destroyed people in chat rooms.
You couldn't destroy nothing. Your knowledge is limited.
Well, hold on for a minute.
Your knowledge is only what you've been told.
The war, first of all, is his name Timmy Franks or Tommy Franks?
Does it matter?
Yeah, my mother said it was Timmy Franks. It made me
want
to cry.
His name could be Billy Bob Doohickey as long as he is controlling the war and it's getting done the way it's supposed to be done.
I buried my face in a pillow and screamed when I heard that. How could she be so impertinent?
Dude, check this out. The way you talk to your mother, she should give you more than just a cup of shut the hell up. She ought to give you a handful of smack the hell down.
Well,
that's
Mr.
what you need is,
you know,
a handful of smack the hell down.
Mr. Hendry is laughing, and I'm sure the audience thinks you're funny, but, sir, I can assure you, I don't think. I told mother that Saddam's half-brother was found, and you know what she said to me? She said, I know, stupid. This is the kind of disrespect. This is the...
Well, look, if she knew, she knew.
That's your mother, though, dude. She ought to give you a handful of smack the hell down for talking to her that way.
All I do is pick up after her, clean the saliva off of her cups of coffee and plates.
Yeah, want to wipe for her. What kind of stuff is that, man?
No kidding.
You are an embarrassment to the Republican Party, dude.
Sure,
and I can't believe you're right. Being in California, I'm a trucker out here on the road. That you bring out the exact land of the fruits and the nuts, wanting to wipe your mother's butt. Oh, my God.
Sir, I can tell you.
You are a disgrace, dude.
Sir,
it's really, Larry, you're the guy that ought to be looked at for a nut bin.
Well, okay, hold on for a minute, because, mother, I offered a nice gesture to wipe her rear end, and she called me a perv.
She should have called the police on you. She should have had you arrested.
So you two guys are getting your giggles now. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh,
yeah.
You're nasty, man. You're straight up loped out, man. There is no way you could have held office in Kern County. If they did, oh, my God.
Well, look, I would... okay, so now I'm a walking... I guess I'm a joke.
Larry, you offer to wipe your own mother's rear end. Yeah, you become a joke.
I did it because she's a 76-year-old woman with arthritis.
Phil, I love mother. Phil, I love your show, but this guy is a disgrace to even call himself a Republican.
I am an avid supporter.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah?
Go get yourself a cup of shut the hell up, okay?
Grab you a handful of smack the hell down, too.
Hey, why don't you get a handful of this right here?
I know you'd like me to, but guess what? We don't go that way. We ain't from California.
Oh, so now you're calling me a queer on top of everything else.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're wanting to wipe your mother's... I wouldn't put nothing past you.
That don't make me queer.
No, you're right, man. You're straight. Yeah. If you want to wipe your own mother's rear end, you're straight.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There was part of that call, the guy goes, this is, hey, dude, that guy was, hey, dude, if the shoe fits, wear it proud. You calling me queer? If the shoe fits, wear it. Wear it proud, dude. Those truckers are great. Got a lot of them listening to us on XM out there in the middle of the great beyond. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Hey, listen, with Mother's Day and Father's Day right around the corner, I wanted to get you guys up to speed on about what's in our souvenir shop on the Phil Henry Show website. Because we have just more than the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt or the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt or the Bobby Dooley Western Estates polo shirt. We now have the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass. That's a gorgeous thing. And if you're, you know, if you collect shot, a lot of people collect shot glasses. It's one of those things they like to collect. Some people collect matchbooks. We got a lot of shot glasses at our house. Usually they're full of something. And it's kind of a game we play. Have to drink it all down before we wash it. No, but, you know, if you collect them, it's definitely a collector's item to go along with your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. If you go into our Citizens Auxiliary Police store, you'll find not only our travel mug and the T-shirt, but you'll also find a couple of windbreakers there and the Citizens Auxiliary Police hat. We also have the official Phil Henry Show ball cap. Or it's not a ball cap, is it? It's a hat. That's there in that part of the store. Just visit our souvenir shop as well as, of course, the best of CDs. All the money from the sale of the CDs goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood. But with the big days coming up, Mom is going to love the Bobby Dooley spa robe. We got a spa robe. Get that for your mom from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Very cool. Just check it out online, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
There's a controversial new bill being introduced in Washington called the United States Paternity Act. Now, what this would do, it would compel every man and child, every father and newborn child in the country to undergo DNA testing to make sure that that child was actually fathered by that man. And the reason for this is apparently some 5 to 8% of all the children that are born in this country, the father is somebody other than the wife's husband. And a lot of these guys don't know it. I'm going to bring on our medical correspondent now, Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, just so we're clear, so people understand what we're talking about here, about 5 to 8% of all the babies born in the United States were fathered by a man that maybe the mother had an affair with and the husband doesn't know about?
Pretty much in a nutshell, Phil. This came to light a few years ago when a man in Dallas, Texas, and the name escapes me right now, was searching for a cure for his son for cystic fibrosis. And so he had a DNA test to see how far or how long he had carried the cystic fibrosis gene. And the doctors told him that in point of fact, his DNA did not match that of his son's DNA, and so he was not the father. This came as quite a shock, obviously. And however, he still pays child support for that child. He divorced the woman, but he is still paying child support. We think that's wrong. And what we'd like to see done with the United States Paternity Act is to make sure that these women who are having babies are not sticking an innocent man with the support of that child claiming that that baby was fathered by them, but in point of fact, it wasn't.
So how do you do this? You just take a DNA swab?
You can test, judge DNA. It's very easy. You take a swab from inside the mouth. You can do it with blood, whatever. But as soon as the baby is born, you run a DNA match on the alleged father or the father to make sure that that baby is indeed that man's, because a few years down the road, he may find out that the child isn't his.
So this man found out that that child wasn't his because they were doing a DNA test to see if he had the cystic fibrosis gene. How do most of these guys find out?
Well, the fact is most of them don't. The fact is there are husbands in America today the fathers of children that are not theirs by paternity, that they are some other man's child. And we don't think it's right, and we don't think it's fair that they have to pay child support for these children. And I've seen women convince men all the time about how they have your eyes, your nose. I know of a man, and this came to light a year ago at the University of Indiana. This man was a fair-skinned Irish-American whose child was born, and the child was clearly Hispanic. But he told himself that the child was what is known as black Irish or had had dark hair because of the tendency for some Irish to have dark hair. And, of course, the wife fed the fantasy. Oh, yes, he looks like you. So now the kid's 15 and is clearly this, you know, a big Mexican kid. So he took some DNA tests, and sure enough, the child was not his. He confronted his wife about this. So she finally broke down and told him that the father was an electrician who had come to the house one afternoon. And the story also doesn't have a happy ending. This man is now on death row in San Quentin for the first-degree murder of that woman.
Oh, my God. So he killed her as the result of this?
I can't say if it's as the result of that, but he did shortly thereafter kill this woman, yeah.
So when this baby was born, so a lot of guys will see a newborn baby and say, he doesn't look like me.
Well, a newborn baby is you know, their features are not formed. The hair can be darker than it eventually will become. So a father listening to a woman to say, oh, well, you know, he's going to look like you, is going to believe that. And, of course, she knows that there could have been somebody else in the mix. So she don't say anything. And the next thing you know, he is stuck with the support of this kid. The women are the ones, Phil, and with the United States Paternity Act, we are not going to fool around anymore. The man takes the baby has a DNA test, and the man, as soon as it's born, to make sure that the kid was his.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number, 1-800-449-8686. The proposed bill, United States Paternity Act, would make it mandatory for all children to undergo a DNA matching test with the alleged father, with the father. And if it is not, then the man is not stuck with the support of that child?
Absolutely. The man, and you used the word, Phil, he's not stuck with the support of that child. Somewhere in America, we have millions of American men who got talked into supporting some, believing this kid was theirs, and it wasn't. And the next thing you know, that there's... you know, that they're paying the bill. It's time women are forced to come clean. Some women, and again, I'm not saying that all women are dishonest, but again, 5 to 8% of the births in this country, the child is not even the man's child.
But that's really hard to fathom. So you live your whole life with a kid that really wasn't yours.
Absolutely. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the family bond is not strong, but it is a family bond that is based upon something dishonest. The wife knows, but the husband doesn't, and we find that to be wrong. What we need to do this, because there's millions of American men getting stuck with the tab for some, you know, illegitimate kid.
All right, now, according to your brochure, you suggest men have this done voluntarily?
I suggest every man and his children have DNA testing. The bill would only cover newborn babies as of whenever the bill's enacted. But I suggest every American man in this country have DNA testing to make sure that there's a match with his children.
You know, yeah, let me just say this.
I realize it's quite an undertaking.
No, but I mean, basically what that does is that the guy says, yeah, there's an element of distrust that is now introduced into American marriages.
Well, I would propose, would you rather have that element of distrust, or would you rather be a sucker that's supporting some other guy's kid? And we're talking about, in the case of this man, some electrician that visited the house for an afternoon, and she has his kid. And I think it's going to, the other thing is it'll obviously stop women cheating on their very loyal husbands, too. Why would they risk it if knowing the DNA is going to match them up?
Or match them up with another father.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jim Sadler, a medical correspondent, talking about a new bill being proposed, the United States Paternity Act. Newborn kids will have a DNA test to make sure that they match the father, because 5 to 8% of all the children born in this country were fathered by someone other than the man married to their mother. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And again, I have to say that there is an issue of trust, and it will be sort of en masse challenge, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, Phil, women have been skilled at telling men what they want to hear. You know, this is brought down generation to generation. Look at your son. Look at how he looks at you. He even walks like you. He has your laugh. Now man's vanity leads him to believe that these things are true, and it's only too late that the men find out otherwise.
How do men generally find out other than the this blood test?
Well, generally they find out if the kid gets sick or they have to do some genetic testing or something like that, or the real father shows up and wants to see the kid, and then you have a problem. And the women will go to incredible lengths to convince you that it's your kid. I'll tell you a story, Phil, and I was one of the lucky ones. I was married for 3 years to my first wife when she announced that she was pregnant. And it was a great day for me. I looked forward to the baby's birth. We found out we were going to have a boy. We were ecstatic. And the day came for the baby's arrival, and we got to the hospital. I was there in the delivery room. I was videotaping, as a lot of new fathers do, helping her with her breathing. And the baby's born, and the baby, what do you want to call it, comes out, he's black. Okay, he's a black kid.
You had an African-American kid.
That's correct. It was a black kid. I was in shock. I asked the doctor, and he gives me one of these looks. I mean, what's he supposed to say? And then my wife said to me, it's a genetic thing, that it happens every fifth generation in her family, and the kid comes out looking black.
Did you believe that?
Well, you know, you do for a couple of years. You want to believe it. And I suffered all the questions and the comments from my friends, you know, what's with Kunta Kinte there and this kind of thing. And finally, I said, this is ridiculous. I'm taking the kid in for a DNA test. And that's when she told me that the father was a UPS driver who'd been delivering a package to the house that day.
Jesus. So you heard this news.
That's correct. And I told her, thank you for being honest. And I told her to take herself. And I think I used some racial slur, and I shouldn't have. So you take you and that black kid out of here. And that's the last I ever saw of her.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that men and do you think that babies and their fathers should be DNA matched when the baby is born to make sure so that the man can feel confident that he's the father of that child? Do you think men are owed that? Do men feel as if they need that? Do men feel that there may be a question of trust there with a woman, even if she's your wife, and that you would feel better if there was some DNA matching going on right as soon as the baby was born? And how do women feel about that? Do you think that it's insulting? Well, we have at least 5 to 8% of babies born in this country not being the children of the man, not being the child of the man, but in point of fact, like in Dr. Sadler's case, a UPS driver that was delivering a package to the house that day. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us talking about DNA testing and the fact that 5% of all babies born in the United States were not fathered by the man that is the husband of the wife. They were fathered by some other guy. So they're going to hold on. We got David G. Hall on the line. Hello, David.
Yeah, Phil, I'm sorry to interrupt your program, but is the doctor there?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah. All right, Dr. Sadler, this is David G. Hall. I'm the program director of basically Phil's radio show.
It's good to meet you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Phil's going to have to conclude this interview with you because what you guys are talking about is going right over the head of the audience.
Well, I think it's very interesting.
I know you think it's interesting, but it's not.
Well, we're talking about the paternity.
I know what you're talking about. The audience doesn't know what you're talking about.
Why?
Because they don't understand what DNA is. They don't know what paternity means. They don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I've written several books.
Well, I'm sure you've written several books that are read by a bunch of other eggheads like you. But this is a radio audience in America. They don't know. They don't know.
David, couldn't we talk about this?
No, go do something else.
I got people...
Yeah, you got a few eggheads from Caltech calling in. Do something else.
Well, this is outrageous. I've never been treated.
Give it a rest.
Have we got that flashback? Okay, we'll do a flashback.
Wait a minute. I came on your program. But
then never mind, okay?
Tell us to hang up on him.
It's the Phil Hendry Show Comedy Gold.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Ms. Gray, is that you?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
And you're back from Iraq?
Yes, I am. And I wanted to come on, and I wanted to state unequivocally that even though I was against this vicious and illegal war, that I would...
You know, you're going to have to watch that, because on my show...
Censorship. Huh?
Well, no, it's not censorship. I just is calling it an illegal war.
Well, Phil, I want to say this. I support the troops 100%, even though I was against this vicious and illegal war. Yes, I said it, illegal, yes. Okay, so...
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something, because I've never been able to understand this. How do you support the troops, but you're against what the troops do? What does that mean?
It means, Phil, that I love and wish the very best for our troops, but I don't want them to do their job. I'd rather they be fired.
What does that mean? You want them to... You love them. What are you doing for them? Anything?
Phil, you know something? You know what really gets me about you? You're willing to jump all over a woman. I'm a single woman, and...
Oh, don't give me that you're a woman thing. You know what you're doing. I just don't know what you're talking about.
I'm on here to support the troops, and if you don't want to listen to it, then don't listen to it. But I have been told by David Hall and other members of Clear Channel that because Tim Robbins has been very, very deeply, deeply wounded and very hurt by the entire Clear Channel apparatus, that I will be given the right, on behalf of Mr. Robbins, Ms. Sarandon, Ms. Garofalo, Mr. Clooney, Mr.
Okay, everybody in Hollywood.
Yes, I'd like to sing Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree. And...
Do we... look at...
And I have a human shield with me in case you want to launch another airstrike like you did when I tried to sing Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And...
What do you mean you have a human shield?
I have my own human shield. Ted, come on in here.
Hey, Phil, Ted Bell, how are you doing?
You gotta be kidding.
No, Phil, listen, I really appreciate the way that Margaret Gray sings a beautiful, beautiful song, and so I'm gonna be her human shield while she sings this song as for the troops.
That's right, Phil. A human shield, so you can't launch, you can't call in another airstrike on me like you've done the last few times that I've been on your program.
Look, I didn't mean to call in an airstrike. It's just that your singing is so bad.
Not my singing is wonderful, you piece of turd. How dare you?
Look at, I just...
How dare you call in a sortie on me just because you think my singing's bad?
That's right, Phil. It's Ted Bell. I'm going to be your human shield, and with me here and the delicious sizzling steaks you can only get at Ted to Beverly Hills, you wouldn't dare bomb me and kill me.
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You try bombing me with Ted Bell standing here as a human shield, and brother, you'll be talking out of both ends of your rear end.
Whatever that means.
Right.
Okay, go ahead and do it.
Ted, stand close to me. Just, you know, in case he tries to get cute.
Right here, Margaret. I love this song.
I hate it.
All right, are you going to shut up or...
Okay, just sing it.
I'm coming home, I've done my time. And I have to know what is or isn't mine.
Beautiful, just beautiful.
If you receive my letter telling you that I'd soon be free, then you'd know just what to do if you still want me. 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 1. I'll tie a yellow ribbon.
Oh, not again. I said I'm a human shield.
Pardon me.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Oh, that was better.
All right, but you're coming into the middle of my program and saying I shouldn't have Dr. Sadler on.
I demand to be heard. Look, is he still there?
Dr. Sadler, you're going to have to go.
I have written a book about this and everything. Oh, get out of here. You sound like you got a mouthful of sausage or something. Don't ever do an interview with a guy about DNA testing ever again. Is that clear?
Well, I guess.
Yeah, it's clear. See you boobs later. Jesus. I demand to be... Oh, shut up.
See you, Dr. Sadler.
Bye.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Back in the late 70s, there was a guy by the name of Jeffrey McDonald. He was a doctor, and he was also a Green Beret. And he was stationed in Northern California, along with his wife and kids. And the wife and the kids were murdered. And McDonald claimed that he was attacked by a group of hippies who came in, drugged out hippies, killed his wife and kids, attacked him, and this was the story. And there was a reporter, in fact, who went down there, a guy by the name of Joe McGinnis, who was going to go down there and write the story of a wrongly accused Green Beret officer and sort of write it from that standpoint. But as he developed the story, he suddenly came to believe that Jeffrey McDonald was the murderer. And out of that came a book called, I think it's called Blind Vision. It's really an interesting book about Jeffrey McDonald and the murder that he committed, the series of murders he committed, his wife and his kids. There's all kinds of websites. There's one that is a Jeffrey McDonald defense site because this guy, Dr. McDonald, was granted the right to conduct DNA testing on forensic evidence from the crime scene. The defense will use the test results to prove the existence of outside assailants, which in turn will exonerate Dr. McDonald. It has been 5 years since the court ordered the DNA test. The testing of the first exhibit began in mid-December 2000, and testing is still underway. Well, they ain't found nothing yet. I mean, within 4 days, they figured out, you know, whether that baby belonged to Lacey Peterson. The first test, December 2000? Hey, Doc, give it up, man. You're a psychopath. You murdered your kids. You murdered your wife. You may be a Green Beret, but you're still a psychopath. And you're going to be inside for the rest of your life, and you ought to be in a nut house, frankly. I don't know where they got him housed, but he ought to be housed in the nut bin. That's how wacky that guy is. Now, this guy, Scott Peterson, tall, good-looking, clean-cut, and he's a psycho. People say, well, I don't understand. How can a guy like that do that? These guys are master liars. Don't you understand? This is how they got to be the way they are. They don't have any personality. They don't have any conscience. So they affect the... Why do you think... I keep going back to Ted Bundy because he was the perfect example of a guy that everyone loved and respected and thought he was just something else. Fact is, he was a serial murderer. Well, the same probably would be true of this guy, Scott Peterson. If this guy got away this time, maybe do somebody else. And I'll tell you what, I'm not convinced that he hasn't done somebody else in the past. But they say he's so good looking and he's clean cut and this and that and, hey, pal. And like I said, it's really kind of a testament to the, I guess, core TV and the sophistication of people now. People, the day after this thing happened, they suspected him. 30, 40 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. But the day after it happened, today, Americans a little bit more aware, I guess everybody around the world more aware of what motivates a murderer and who are the murderers among us, who are the people that will kill, and 9 times out of 10, or at least over half the time, it's somebody you know. That whole thing about the stranger killing you, while it's true, that you know, people are murdered by people they've never met before. It's not the majority of the time. It's a, it is a small percentage. So you got to look up this guy, Jeffrey McDonald. This guy was, everybody thought he was just fantastic. He was a good-looking doctor, army doctor. I forget where they were, Fort Bragg, somewhere up Northern California. And he came up with the phony baloney story that everybody came up with in those days, which was, oh, yeah, Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, the guy, he got attacked by a hippies. They were drug-crazed. One chick was wearing the big hat. I'll read it to you. In February of 1970, things were going very well for Green Beret Dr. Jeffrey McDonald and his wife Colette and their two young daughters. Why, oh, over finally were the years of financial hardship and punishing long hours of work during medical school. Now a rosy, financially secure, and socially comfortable future stretched out ahead of them. Best of all, at least from Colette's point of view, there was very little chance that he would be shipped off to Vietnam after all. A few months earlier, she had written to her friends, "We're having a great, great time. We're having a great all-expense-paid vacation in the Army. Looks as if Jeff will be here." Oh, it's in North Carolina, excuse me. Is there a Fort Bragg in North Carolina? Looks like Jeff will be here in North Carolina for quite some time. And the plan was that someday they would live on a farm with five children and horses and rabbits and all kinds of pets. At least that was her idea. And he probably had her believing that that's the way it was going to be. So the fairy tale life was taking shape. Hard-working, brilliant doctor. He married the girl he dated in high school, the attractive, intelligent Colette Stevenson. They began dating steadily. She conceived. They had babies. After his medical training, Dr. McDonald joined the Army and was later accepted into the famous Green Berets. There, they were stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
And then it all ended.
The fairy tale became a horror story in the cold, rainy morning of December. Tuesday, February 17th, after 3:30 a.m., an operator in Fayetteville, North Carolina, got a call from a man who identified himself as Captain McDonald, begging for her to call the military police. He weakly said into the phone, "Stabbing." She put the call through to the military police. Help. The desk sergeant dispatched a number of MPs. One of the MPs on the way saw a peculiar sight three blocks away from Captain McDonald's home, a young woman in a raincoat and a wide-brimmed floppy hat just standing there in the rain at 3:55 in the morning. Had he not been in a hurry, he and his partner would have stopped to ask her what she was doing there. Wasn't long before they got there, they found Mrs. McDonald and the children dead, stabbed to death, murdered. Well, Jeffrey McDonald hung on to this story about hippies who beat him up and butchered up the children. Now, one of the things that happens with the police is forensically they have to make all these things match. It just doesn't, your word doesn't mean much to them. They have to make sure that, for instance, when McDonald said that he picked his daughter up, he said his daughter was laying on the floor and he picked her up and carried her into the room, which was a man who just claimed he'd been stabbed, and the stab wounds on him were very superficial. It would take him a certain amount of time. Well, I found out that the time that he claimed it took, it was impossible. Things didn't match. The stab wounds, the angle of the stab wounds could have been done by any man inflicting them on himself, and they were coming from overhead. A lot of people use a knife underhand. Using it overhand is like something out of Psycho. Yeah, like, you know, Janet Leigh's the guy in the shower thing. But most people will possibly tell you it's used underhand or slashing. So all of this guy's baloney didn't add up to a house of crap, and they convicted him for murdering his family, and now they threw him in the can. Now, every one of this nutcase's leads have been followed up. The woman with the floppy hippie hat and all this baloney. This guy's been at this now for 25 years. All this proves to me is, if you're nuts, you're nuts all the way down the line, man. 25 years later, you're nuts. And this dude is still pushing this DNA testing thing. They ain't found squat. He got the court to give him a chance to go in and test the DNA evidence that was found there at the scene of the crime, and they still haven't found anything. But this is this guy's way of trying to keep himself in the news so that he's got control. Same thing with this guy Peterson. You watch this trial. It's going to be something else. Not guilty is what he pleaded, right? You watch the circus he's going to turn it into. and he's got himself a public defender. Well, I'm not denigrating the public defender's office, but it's kind of like the attorney you can control. I'd like to take over here, Counselor Scott. You don't have a law degree. Just don't worry about it. Bet you anything, I'll bet you anything, this guy Peterson decides he wants to cross-examine some people himself. That's all. That's the whole game, these guys. These nuts want to be in control. That's the whole game that they play. So anyway, you might want to check it out. It's the Jeffrey McDonald story. And it was, like I say, in the 70s to you know, the I think the conviction came in the late 70s. And he claims some hippie killed his kids and his wife. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Of course, there's also a theory about this guy, Jeffrey McDonald, I should say, that he killed his wife. All he wanted to do was kill his wife, but he panicked and killed the kids, too. Getting rid of the wife, etc. Life is now a beautiful thing. So he concocts this story about acid-dropping hippies coming in and butchering up his family. And, you know, I mean, why not? The Manson family just happened. That was the excuse of the day. Acid-dropping hippies who come in and just carve up your family. You know, you got to be seriously messed up to want to kill anybody when you're on acid. You have to be seriously. You got to be seriously psycho. You really do. Don't ask me how I know. So anyway, and then the other thing about Jeffrey McDonald, the guy was a narcissist, you know. He failed his polygraph test. I mean, and by the way, the guy that got Jeffrey McDonald was the stepfather. I think it was the stepfather or the father. No, it was the father-in-law, actually, of Jeffrey McDonald, who chased him and chased him and chased him, and finally, you know, with the help of this author and, you know, the police and everything else, was able to put it all together. This guy was apparently admired and respected by both sides of the family. Well, that's all over. I'll tell you what, if that was my daughter, I wouldn't have anything to do with those parents. What, am I supposed to feel sorry for them? What am I feeling sorry for them for? I don't understand that. First of all, they're in a state of denial that's, like, beyond belief. They don't even want to have any, even the hint that their son is involved in this, which I totally understand. But, you know, if you want to live in your own fantasy land, go right ahead. Don't insult my intelligence along with everybody else's. And on top of that, they're insulting the Modesto PD. And everybody's supposed to feel sorry for them? You raised a psycho. Suck on that. And you know what? You want to do anybody a real favor, man? Don't show up in that courthouse. I know, you want to be there for your son. If I was that stepfather or father or the anybody related to Lacey Peterson, I wouldn't have anything more to do with those people. You know what? Sorry, I really don't have anything more to do with you. I mean, the only reason why I know you in the first place is because my daughter married your freaking son, and now he's butchered her up, so you'll pardon me if I really don't want to have anything more to do with your family. Well, we can still be friends. No, I don't think so, man. The only reason why I'm talking to you is because your son married my daughter. The hell do I want to have anything to do with you for? Get out of here. You know, wake up, man. Smell the coffee. Your son's a nut. Your little boy can kill. I always have this argument with my wife, see? Because this is the thing, especially when I, you know, being a stepfather, say, honey, don't you understand that I do have a certain clarity and objectivity here that you don't have because you're the mother? And it's possible that the kids might have lied about this or done that. Oh, no, they couldn't know. You know something, you just don't know them the way I know them. Mothers don't know their own kids. Mothers know their kids up to a point, but then they begin to fabricate and imagine things. I mean, mothers know their kids about halfway, and the other half is pure fantasy land. And it occurred to me one night, we were talking about college for the kids. I said, well, did it ever occur to you that maybe they're not Harvard material? Because she said to me, I don't know why they don't want to be in Harvard. And, I'd love for them to, you know, it'd be a really great school for them is Columbia. And, well, are the kids showing any interest in that? No, not really. And it just really meant they don't push themselves. I said, it's possible they're not Harvard material. Well, that's, you can't tell a mother that. Although I got to say, Maria's pretty realistic. When I said, is it possible that they're not Harvard material? She said, possible. Which doesn't mean that they're dumbasses. It's just, you know, Harvard's a tough school to get into. My mom always thought I was going to be an Ivy Leaguer. Back in the day, going to the Ivy League schools was where it was at. Dartmouth, Harvard, and Yale. That's my mother saw that. You know, that was her image of me. Driving an MG with a, V-neck sweater and with books under my arms going into the whatever the hell it is, Yale. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I'm sure I was a great disappointment to dear old mom. Seriously, I mean, I just grew up. I got into radio for starters, which was she didn't get that at all. What is that? What are you? She wanted me to be an. If I've had to be in broadcasting, she wanted me to be a newscaster like Dan Rather. At least be on television. Well, I'm not. I can't. So my, you know, they all have that image, and now along comes their dear little son, and he's just carved up a woman and his unborn son. Oh, she can't allow it. She can't even bring herself to believe that. That's a woman that's been living a dream her whole life, no doubt. Don't you find it strange that the kid is relying on a public defender when the parents firmly believe in his innocence and they're loaded, but they don't want to lay any jack on him for an attorney? Is that weird or what? So that gives you an idea of some of the dynamics between the family, between son and parents. Doesn't it? You know, there's not a whole lot of, I don't see a lot of nurturing going on there. I hear a lot of people talking about how their son's this and their son is that. But hey, you know, let's face facts. When push comes to shove and you're retired and you got maybe tied up a little bit too much in Qualcomm, you know, it's that NASDAQ stuff ain't looking too good, but you can still afford the Jag and you live at Solana Beach and maybe you're a couple of blocks from the beach. Things are sweet. The last thing you want to do is dip into your retirement to try to bail out your freaky son. Dip into your retirement, lay a $20,000 retainer on some heavyweight to try to keep your son out of the slammer. Guess what? I bet you they think he's as guilty as sin. See you later, son. You know, we love you, and we really believe you're innocent, but bye. Yeah, Roger. I bet you that's exactly the relationship they had as he was growing up. When they talked a lot about how much they loved him, but when it came down to really showing it, your father and I really want to make that Danube cruise this year. Mom, Dad, aren't you going to be home for my graduation? Oh, you know, Grammy will be here. Mom, I'm sick. Would you just hug me? You know, I really got to get over to the bridge tournament. I mean, all that stuff. It just adds up. Add it all up, and what do you got? Psycho boy. Psycho boy out in the middle of the bay. And so there you have it, folks. My analysis, and can it be wrong? Dun, 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 dun. Next week, Phil looks at Hitler. He was actually okay. If it wasn't for those malformed genitals. Dun, 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 dun. All right, anyway, don't miss our website. Don't miss our website. Like, is it going to be on TV anytime soon? Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop. Pick up the best of the Phil Henry Show CD. Why? Well, first of all, it's a double CD set this year, two for the price of one. And the most important reason is the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And they do just phenomenal work. We're so happy to be able to support them. I really believe you've got to get our CD because the quality of the CD this year is so outstanding. It's two for the price of one. And again, it goes to the great people at my friend's place. PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.